You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The prodigal son was at the end of his rope and seemed to have nowhere to turn. How many prodigal sons and daughters are there who should say with him, "I will return to my father"?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
As we turn to God in prayer, we remember ourselves today and pray, God, help us in those times when we get what we want and then discover that we do not want it. Help us to escape from the troubles which we create for ourselves. Teach us that remorse and repentance are your tools to bring us back to sanity. Make us see that however we stray from you and from our better selves, there is a way back, because you accept us as we are, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The story of the prodigal son is one of the best known stories of the Bible. I suppose that is because we are all so much like him. The basic question he raises is, how to get out of the mess I created for myself. Do you remember the story? He had sort of a legal claim on his inheritance. He should have known better, but he decided that he really knew better than his father. He requested his inheritance. "Let me alone," was his argument. "This is a new generation, and we know what's best." And we marvel at his father's patience. "All right," he said, "take what is yours and go live your life as you see fit." And so he did. But in the language of today, he blew it. He lived it up in what the Bible calls riotous living. I will leave to your imagination what the Bible leaves to mine. At any rate, he had a good time according to the standards of his day. His inheritance, gained from the sweat of his father's brow, was his ticket to popularity. But it ran out when the free drinks, that is, free to anyone but him, ran out. The prodigal son then returned to his father. This immortal story raises the question for all of us today: do we need to return to the Father? And what will happen if we do? Why did this blow it all at once son return to his father? He did so because his plans for his life failed. He thought he knew how to live life. Enjoy it while you can. What does the commercial say to us? You only go around once, so enjoy the gusto. The prodigal son returned to his father because his humanly rational plans did not work out. His plans had such remarkable ideas as, "Don't work if you can play," or "You can always buy friends," or "People who live responsibly are missing all the fun. But his plan failed. So he went back to his father because there was nowhere else to go. None of us likes to identify with the prodigal son, and yet Satan tempts us all to follow his pattern. Satan whispers to us that life is short, and we might as well enjoy it while we can. That's not a bad idea. The real question is about how to enjoy life. Satan, who has a really live line into our human desires, he knows what is inside of us, and he tells us all kinds of lies. He suggests that to live in contradiction to God's moral commands is the real life. He suggests and even insists that selfishness is the way to sensible living. As in the case of the prodigal son, however, the time comes when our own way of deciding how life should be lived betrays itself and us. It is then that we may decide to return to the Father. But what happens when we do? Well, how would you have ended the story of the prodigal son if you were writing the story? Human reason and justice would tell you to reject this fool. He got what he deserved, and in no way would we rescue him from his own stew. He had gotten himself into trouble, and he could get himself out. Isn't that the natural human response? This is not the way with God. I want you to know this, because all of us human beings are constantly getting ourselves into trouble and wondering if there is any way back. We assume that God will not accept us. Some months ago, a church convention was held in a major American city. Even at church conventions, prostitutes try to ply their trade with delegates. One evening, as pastoral delegates were walking to the convention arena from their hotel, a young prostitute accosted a few of them. One pastor had the wisdom to look into the girl's eyes and say, "Didn't your mother ever tell you about Jesus?" The result was that the girl broke down emotionally and almost cried out, "How do I go back to my father?" What did she expect? What do you and I expect when we know we have sinned, but would like to return to our honored positions as daughters and sons of God? What will God do? Will he recriminate? Will he criticize? Yes, he will, until we have admitted our false values and wrong choices. He wants to hear us say what the prodigal son said, "I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. Make me as one of your servants." The beauty of the story of the prodigal son is that the response of the father is unexpected. His son has repented. The father, therefore, is no longer interested in penalties or recriminations. He rejoices. "This my son was dead, and he is alive. He was lost, and he was found." The story of the prodigal son is recorded in the Bible for our learning. It is a mistake to assume that only certain kinds of sinners are worthy of forgiveness. We are all sinners. We may not like to hear that judgment, but in our hearts we know it. We are all prodigals, in that we depart from God's ways and attempt to live our lives by our own standards. There are so many forces which pull us in that direction. The good news is that while we are alive, there is always a way back. God does not measure our works to determine whether or not we are worthy of his acceptance and love. He knows and we know we are not worthy. But God our Father has provided one who makes us worthy. Jesus Christ is sometimes presented as one who was so holy that only the best of people could come near him. And that certainly is a distorted picture. The judgment made about him that was at one and the same time the worst and the best thing that could be said about him was that he eats with sinners. God our Father has open arms for everyone. No person has ever sinned so much that God does not want her or him. I think that's great news. Of course, God wants us to abstain from our sins. It's no secret that we as Christians do too. Our sins make us miserable. We know that even as we are drawn into them. The Christian message is that we can be rescued from our natural inclinations and drawn toward what God wants us to be. How do we come back to the Father? God has not left us in doubt about that. He has a two-step program which all of us can follow. The first step is to repent. That means to be honest with ourselves and with God. There comes the moment when we say, I have sinned. And the second step is to believe. Belief is not something of the head alone. Christian faith does require knowledge of what it is all about, but the essence of faith is that when we repent and believe, yes, receive the invitation of God, God Himself creates faith in our hearts. Good friend, wherever you are, do you see yourself as far from the Father? Do you fear returning to the Father? Have no fear. The Father is waiting for your return. He waits for each of us every day. He waits for those of us who think we are with the Father, but really are not. He waits for us who think we can never come to Him. His arms are open. He says, My Son died for you. He died to make you my child. Come unto me. I will receive you, not for your life's sake, but for my Son's death's sake. Do you want to know the good news? It is that our Heavenly Father accepts us all for the sake of Jesus. Amen.